The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 16th of June, 2026. Good morning. How are you all keeping? I do really genuinely hope you're all well. Nice and mild heading toward work this morning. It's a bit overcast, but you know what? As long as the temperature's up, I can live with that. A bit of rain about today. We'll tell you more about that, of course, when we give you our hourly weather forecasts. It's a packed show, as always. You've come to expect that, haven't you? And we've got community garden information coming up. We've got some live music for you as well. Some guys who are pretty viral at the moment are coming in for a chat and to play some music. And that and so much more besides. I had a very interesting conversation yesterday with Gary Jennings. Gary Jennings is back behind the wheel of a rally car for the Donegal International Rally. I remember at the time of his very serious crash last year, people were effectively saying not only would he not rally again, but for a time he may not survive. And in fairness, it was only because of the quick actions of those that turned up on the scene that he did arrive at all. But he's a very thoughtful bloke. I didn't really realise. I didn't have any preconceived notions of Gary, but I never realised how sort of thoughtful he is from his experience, what came from that. Some fascinating stuff. It's part of the podcast that will be released on Friday. I'm just giving you a heads up. It'll be available, of course, here on Highland Radio from 11 a.m. and across wherever you get your podcasts as well. But as I say, it's a very, very interesting conversation. So he's going to be back. He was a spectator last year. He's back rallying this year. Here's an interesting fact for you. Gary Jennings, since the crash that almost cost him his life, and in fairness, he has life-altering injuries still, but he's going to rally. He has yet to sit in the seat of a rally car. He has not sat in the seat of a rally car since that crash, and yet he's taking to the roads, the highways and the byways of Donegal in the Donegal International Rally. And he's confident. He's not going out to win it. He's going out to enjoy it, but he's planning to come back and be competitive next year. It's a fascinating story. And that part for me, when he said that, I was like, well, and he brought it up when he said that, I was like, wow. Okay, that's really interesting. Right, so that podcast is available for you on Friday. In between now and then, by the way, it's fantastic to see our humble little podcast here from the northwest of Ireland consistently in the top 30 podcasts in the whole country, across the whole island. This is up against, you know, Off the Ball, podcasts of Drive Time, Morning Ireland, The Path to Power, all of these fantastic national podcasts, and our little podcast sitting up there in the top 30. So fantastic that so many of you locally are listening to it, but also across the country, people are listening to it as well. So it's fantastic, and thank you very much indeed. And I've no doubt the episode with Gary is going to be very interesting. Now, I thought it very interesting that there is quite a significant debate today and vote tomorrow on abortion and the laws surrounding abortion. And of course, at this time of the day, I like to read it out of the newspapers or whatever might be relevant. I can't find it in any of the newspapers. So I'm presenting this as an addition to the newspapers. But I think this is an issue that you might want to have a word on. You might want to know what's going on. So government TDs that have a free vote on Sinn Féin legislation. This is legislation coming from Sinn Féin to remove the mandatory 3-day wait period for abortion in early pregnancy. Now, when you voted on this in the referendum, most people in Donegal voted against it. Across the country, people voted for it, although it was relatively tight. Part of that vote that you went out and voted for was this 3-day wait period, call it a cooling off period, whatever that might be. Now, without your say, it is being removed, or the plan is to remove it. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald has said the 3-day wait should never have been introduced and has had serious consequences. So a government spokesperson confirmed the move ahead of the Dáil debate today about the free vote for government TDs, debate on the motion today and the vote tomorrow. And this bill comes after Social Democrat proposals to remove both the 3-day wait and criminal sanctions found in the current law, as well as to introduce revised criteria for a termination on the grounds of fatal abnormality. They were defeated in the Dáil last month. Patricia Gallagher voted against those Social Democrat proposals. Charlie McConnellogue voted against those proposals. Charles Ward voted against those proposals. Sinn Féin abstained. They had some concerns about the legality of the consequences and the wording. And of course, they also knew that their own another vote was coming up on it, and they could have their say in relation to that. So just as impartially as I can, why would we have the mandatory 3-day wait period? Well, those in favour of it, and perhaps many of you who voted for abortion because that was in there, argue that it serves as a critical safeguard for an irreversible and emotionally significant decision, so it gives the woman a chance to think. Proponents, including conservative politicians, anti-abortion advocacy groups and some medical professionals, maintain that a built-in pause ensures women have adequate time to fully consider all options, review medical information and access counselling if desired, without feeling rushed or pressured during a stressful period. Conversely, those against the waiting period, including the Social Democrats, as I mentioned, various women's rights organisations and the WHO, well, they argue that it's patronising to women. It's a barrier that undermines a woman's autonomy and implies she's incapable of making informed healthcare choices on her own and kind of in an immediate way. Opponents highlight that by the time a person contacts a doctor, they've usually already spent days or weeks deliberating. And from a clinical perspective, critics emphasise that the delay serves no medical purpose and could create serious and severe logistic hardships, particularly for women living in rural Ireland who must arrange extra childcare time off work and so on and so forth. So that's what's coming down the line. There's a debate in the Dáil today. There's a vote tomorrow. I don't know how the five Donegal TDs will vote. I presume Sinn Féin will vote along party lines. And I'm not sure if it's a free vote. I didn't read anything in relation to that. Pat the Cope, Charlie McCann Logan, Charles Ward will be able to vote with their conscience. And we'll bring you the outcome of that. But as I say, I think it's a really significant piece of news, but I just couldn't find it in the newspapers, so I thought I would add it onto this section. If you have anything to say in relation to that, for or against, we've no agenda here, 086 60 25,000. Some good news from the Middle East, it would seem, but I think, you know, after 34 proclamations from Donald Trump that the war in Iran is nearly over, people are kind of going to be a little bit reticent about jumping for joy at this news. But a preliminary deal to end hostilities announced by the United States and Iran caused stock markets to surge and oil prices to sink as it raised hopes that shipping could resume in the Strait of Hormuz. Accounts from the two sides about what the deal contains differ, and no text has been published, but both Washington and Tehran have said an agreement would be officially signed on Friday, and the US has said this will take place in Geneva in Switzerland. And you know what? It's an amazing outcome for Iran, because before the war, well, after the war, what do they have? Hundreds of billions of euro to rebuild their country back bigger and better than ever. They're going to, they claim, be charging for oil passage through the Strait of Hormuz, which wasn't there previously. The leadership has been taken out, but fundamentally the leadership of the country remains in place. And really, you know, there's no threat to them because they can do whatever they like now going forward. Israel didn't destroy them and so on and so forth. So Iran has gained so much from this. It's really, really quite remarkable. When will the price of petrol and diesel come down? It's not going to happen very soon, because even though the barrels of oil are cheaper, apparently those that supply it have to build up reserves before we'll see those savings passed on. But we shall wait and see. The Independent tells us there are almost 19,000 vacant residential properties across the country whose owners are to be targeted by revenue in a move aimed at bringing more housing units back into use. There are 1,482 people potentially listening to this in Donegal with vacant homes that could face sanction. That's in Donegal. Figures show that rural counties are more likely to have dereliction, with the rates in Cavan, Leitrim and Roscommon far in excess of what they are in Dublin, Cork and commuter counties. The Cabinet will today approve plans to impose a tax of at least 7% on derelict properties to be collected by revenue, initially targeting towns of more than 4,000 people. So Letterkenny's included. So this perhaps would be really good for the dereliction that we see in certain parts of Letterkenny. But it probably will be expanded to right across the county down the line. We shall see. It's good to see, is it, that more people are buying second-hand, reusing clothes, because sales of vintage clothes have soared, almost tripled in the year to May, according to consumer spending data from the AIB, and this is in the Irish Daily Mail. The bank spend trend report from last month found there'd been a 9% fall in volume spent in clothing shops, which is problematic. This compared to May 2025, while a huge boom in the second-hand brand market saw the sector up 197% year-on-year. And this, of course, is down to Vinted. And I think people find more fun in this. And Vinted has become, is it a verb or what? I don't know how you describe, I don't know what the difference is between those things. But Vinted now has become the, what eBay was for selling your own stuff, Vinted now, it's just an everyday word and everyone knows what it does. Well, all of the growth came from an increase in online transactions rather than in-store, AIB noted. Concerns around fashion, sustainability, the cost of living and the rise of reselling websites such as Depop and Vinted have played a part in the shakeup. So if you switch to shopping, you know, more so with the likes of Vinted or Depop, has that changed your shopping habits? I'd be interested to know of your experience. 086 60 25,000. The conversation about a media ban is back, of course, for under 16s. The government is considering a social media ban for under 16s, but would hope to move at a European level. Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Taoiseach Simon Harris both welcomed the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer's move to ban the age, describing the social media as the public health risk of our time. But I mean, in Britain, you know, like on a Tuesday as a 15-year-old, you can't go on Facebook, and on Wednesday you can have a baby. You know, it's, I don't know, it seems to be a, and my views were changed on a debate we had in relation to this, on this programme. I'm what, like, I'm thinking 16 seems old or 15 seems old. But anyway, it looks like they're going to ban from lots of websites, YouTube, which I think is going to be problematic for lots of you out there, although children often use their parents' account, Facebook, TikTok and all that kind of stuff. The interesting thing, you know, Blue Sky isn't in there, and Blue Sky is a very lefty, wokey, and I'm not saying that, I don't say that, by the way, in a negative way. It's a very woke, liberal space, and it's not included. So obviously they feel that if you go on Facebook or Twitter and you're 14 or 15, that you could be radicalized by right-leaning views or conservative views. But it's okay to go onto a social media platform whereby all manner of ideology is there for you to consume. But obviously a decision has been made that that is not deemed as being harmful. But I'm sure many of you out there might have concerns and suggest maybe it is. I don't know. We're just talking here. Lots of people take vitamins out there, and they're seen, broadly speaking, to be a very positive thing. And you would never really associate the word sort of overdose or overdoing it with vitamins, or would you? Well, this is a tale that might give you pause for thought. Bernie Quigley from Derry joins me on the programme now to discuss this. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for your time. Right, so why were you taking vitamins? Sort of paint the pictures to you know, what was going on in your life, what were you looking to do, and what role the vitamins were in your life for?
Greg, I was taking multivitamins, magnesium, vitamin C, just near enough everything nearly on the shelf, thinking that these here were going to be good for my hair, my nails, they're going to be good for my bones, and little did I know that I was overdosing on them.
And when did you start to feel, you know, not good?
I was walking up a quay one morning. I walk 6 days a week. Mm. And I was walking up a quay with my husband, and my head was so dizzy, and I knew it wasn't vertigo, because I do suffer with vertigo. I knew it was a different kind of, my head was just, I was walking like a zombie up the quay, and I said to my husband, I feel so weak, and I said, you know, you need to go and see your doctor if you feel like that.
What were you putting this down to at the time? Was it like, I mean, normally I'd go, well, you need to check, your blood pressure isn't low.
Yeah, I thought it was my blood pressure been low, but actually it wasn't my blood pressure been low. That night I went to work and all, and I came home and I shouldn't have been driving a car either. I just felt so weak. So the next morning I went in to my doctor. It was a Monday morning. And I said to my doctor, I feel so weak. I just feel like I'm going to pass out. Mm. I don't know what's wrong with me. So right away, the doctor done my bloods and the nurse done my bloods, and they came back on a Tuesday. And I got a phone call from my doctor saying that I have to go to Aunt McGill for a scan, where you drink the water and they scan your stomach.
Mm.
And I went, Greg, and got the scan, and I came home again, and I didn't ask no questions. I didn't think I had a need to ask anything. So on a Wednesday, I got another phone call to go for an X-ray in Aunt McGill. And I went over, got the X-ray. I still didn't ask no questions. I got the X-ray, and I still felt really weak. But my bloods came back that there was something wrong inside my body. So I got another phone call on a Thursday that saying that I had to go down to Limavady to go for another scan on my stomach.
Where at you this stage, the water though, Bernie, you must have been going, is there something actually catastrophic or something really serious wrong here with all these scans and what have you? Or were you being given any information as to why there were so many procedures?
Well, Greg, I was told nothing, nothing at all. And when I went to Limavady, as I said on my TikTok, because this went viral on TikTok,
right?
I was sitting outside waiting, didn't tell my family, I told nobody. My husband knew that was it. Went down, I sat outside, and I was so worked up. I'm not a person that overreacts. I just didn't think about it, but I started to get worried when I was out waiting to go on for my scan. Now, when I had done for the scan, I said to her, it was the same nurse that scanned me, not in the Galvin, and I had said to her, I said, why am I down here for a second scan? What's wrong with me? Why am I here? I started to get really worried and annoyed. And she said, let me do the scan and I will talk to you. And I went, right, okay, fair enough. So got the scan, went out, put my clothes on and came back in. And she said, I know they look at you. She said, you're right in fit. And I said, I train 6 days a week. And she said, I said, what is wrong with me? Can you tell me? Because I'm starting to get really scared. And she said, your B12 sitting dangerously high. And I went, why did nobody tell me this here? Why am I sitting worried? And what's going on? Why is my B12 high? And she said, do you take multivitamins? And I went, I do. She says, do you take a lot of vitamins? I went, I do. And she said, I want you to go home. I want you to check on all your vitamins, and the doctor, not in the Galvin, will be ringing you within an hour. And you need to do this right away. So I went home, Greg, checked everything. I was on BCAAs, that stuff you drink for high performance when you train. And I actually was taking a calcium tablet and along with that drink. So that was more B12. Maybe every supplement that I looked at, it all had B12 in it.
Wow.
The whole lot of it. So the doctor rang me and he said to me, did you check everything? And I said, I did. And I said, the whole lot's got B12. He said, you get off them right away. He says, you're sitting so dangerously. That's why we sent you for all the tests during the week. It's because your body's antiquating through your blood. There's something wrong inside your body. But it was actually my B12, Greg. I was overdosed on multivitamin.
And that's and what I was going to ask you, Bernie. So did they say your body doesn't process B12 like others do? Or was it literally no one could really process the amount of B12 you were putting into yourself?
Because, Greg, I was taking all these vitamins, right? I did not need them, Greg, because I train, I eat good food. And when you eat good food, you get what you need for your training out of that food. You do not need to take multivitamins, magnesium, all this here, because it's different, Greg, if you... If you're getting it out of your food, right, you don't need to take it. But if you're not eating and you're not getting out of your food, then your doctor will recommend you to go take magnesium or take multivitamins. Like you go to a boot camp, you go to a gym to do a transformation or to do like a 10-week eating program, they tell you to take this stuff. And people are taking it because they think, I'm going to take this here for high performance, the BCAAs and the drink. I'm going to take magnesium. I'm going to take vitamin C. I'm going to take multivitamins. Greg, little does people know, that's not good for you. You have to go through your doctor.
If this wasn't gotten in time, and it sounds like it was at the point where it could have really had a very severe impact on your health, were the doctors able to tell you what might have happened if this wasn't caught when it was caught?
I don't really know, Greg. I never really asked. I just wanted to know what was wrong with me at that present time, because it was a full week went by. I hadn't a clue what was wrong with me.
Mm.
Like, my head was buzzing. But when the B12 happened to me, Greg, all them multivitamins and all them supplements that I bought out of the supermarket, over the shelf, I know on the back of the package, and you do read it, and it tells you what to take, what dose to take. I know all that. I've read all that. But I thought, I'll take this, I'll take that. One for my bones, one for high performance, one for calcium, one for magnesium, and my B12 just went sky.
Yeah, because the B12 was in all of them. So you weren't misusing them. You were saying, right, this is for that, this is for the other. But the common denominator was B12. And obviously, because of your general good health, your B12 levels were okay. So you were just putting B12 in on top of B12. Really, I suppose, you know, you have to be careful that you aren't overdoing it. In other words, if you are a generally healthy person, a good diet, maybe even get your bloods done before you start taking vitamins, because if you're taking vitamin that you don't need, it can have really big consequences on your well-being, your health.
Without a doubt, Craig, because, I mean, as you know yourself, the reason why I'm on here today on Island Radio is because I'd done a TikTok and it went viral. I mean, 4 days, I had 53,000 views. I've had 125 people share this story on TikTok. I've had a lot of messages underneath the posts that I've done. People saying that they didn't realise they were getting those heads, and they didn't realise that the B12 and them multivitamins that they were taking, this is what's happening to them. And there's a girl was taking iron tablets and she's critically ill. There's not a thing they can do for her.
Sorry, Bernie, exactly. They're so easily available, and there's restrictions on the purchase of paracetamol and what have you, but not so in the likes of these vitamins. How soon after you stopped taking these supplements did you begin to come around? Did presumably the B12 levels begin to settle down to acceptable norms?
Within a week, Greg, I was back to normal, Ian.
Okay. Right.
Totally back to normal. I mean, it's just to let everybody out there be aware of when you go, say you go to the gym for the first time, or you go to a boot camp and you're doing like an eating plan and they're telling you to take this, take that. Be aware, go to the doctor, get your bloods done, and make sure you can take that, or ask your doctor for advice. Do not take this stuff, because it's not good for you.
Okay, Bernie, listen, thank you very much for that. Bernie Quigley there from Derry, and you can check out Bernie on TikTok and other socials as well. Of course, there's a lot of vitamins and supplements you buy are absolutely full of additives, fillers, etc. That should not be taken by humans. Some are even banned in dog food supplements. And I think really the issue is you can go into your local shop or wherever it is, and you can fill a basket and walk out with them. And no harm perhaps consulting with someone who works there with knowledge, a health food shop. I think if you go into some of the excellent health food stores or that we have in this county, they're not going to go, there's B12, there's B12, there's B12. People are going in really thinking that if they fill the trolley, take everything, it's actually good for you. But as we've heard from Bernie there and others that have commented since, too much of a good thing is bad for you as well. Methylation of vitamins is a big problem for many people, and they are not even aware of it. We miss the telltale signs at birth and most never know. Another, a lack of education in regards to vitamins is the problem. You can't just pop tabs and that's that. There are water and fat-soluble ones and should not be taken in conjunction with food, etc. It's not the vitamins, it's the lack of education. Indeed, it was an overdose. And you heard from Bernie there, she didn't need to be taking B12, but she was taking it across a range of vitamins. She's not having a go at the vitamin taken. And some of the comments here is if everyone knew this. I didn't realise that you could. I don't take vitamins, perhaps I should. But I didn't realise that, you know, it could have such a negative impact on your health. It doesn't mean don't take vitamins. It actually proves that they work. It just don't take the ones that you don't need. Another, I was taking vitamin D for my bones when I had blood tests for something else. It came back that I had dangerously high vitamin D. I had to stop taking it, and it took a few months to get levels down back to normal. There you go. Any other stories in relation to that? I think a lot of people listening today are perhaps learning stuff for the first time. On the issue of the 3D wait for abortion, a caller says, Greg, no woman should have a right to kill her baby. What about the father? It takes two people to create a baby. We've gone through this, and for right or wrong, a lot of people were voting in favour of abortion in the instance of rape. I don't think a father in that case has any rights whatsoever. And not every father is going to be present. Some lads run for the hills as soon as they hear a woman is pregnant. And there are other factors. The abortion referendum, it's never over, but the abortion debate as to, you know, what rights a woman does or doesn't have, like does a baby have a right to kill its mother if there's a danger to her health? We've kind of gone through that. But that being said, things are changing all the time, and what people voted on in the referendum is now potentially going to be changed tomorrow. And I'm not in any way rejecting your point of view, but that's not what's up for debate in the Dáil today and the vote tomorrow. That has been decided whether some people like it or don't. The majority around the country voted for that. Now we say marching way to Councillor Micheál Colm McGillan-Asper. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Marching way to Greg. I guess marching way to Dáil yesterday.
Right, now you're raising concerns about, really, I suppose, the death by a thousand cuts of the Dúchiri community. And it's, you know, it's a chipping away, isn't it, at really the fabric of the community in terms of services. What's been happening?
Well, I suppose what I would say is, unfortunately, where we're at right now is that on the 24th, that the school, Scall and the Dúchiri, will close its doors. And the school won't be reopening again in September. And I'd like to pay massive tribute to the school community and the Dúchiri who have served the community over many, many generations. And I just think it's such a sad state of affairs. And I'll include this in it myself, being, I suppose, the local councillor or politician, whatever you want to call it. That we yet failed in another rural area and a beautiful part of the world. Amanda and Kieran and them done their best to keep the shop open lately. It didn't work out for them. There was a number of attempts to keep the shop open, and a great wee shop it was. And unfortunately, the shop closed. We've seen the pub closing, and now we've seen the school closing. And I just think it's an awful, awful shame and indictment, I believe, on the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government. And it reflects their, I suppose, their capitalist policy when it comes to rural areas, especially here in Donegal.
What did Donegal County Council, of which you're a member, actively do to try and, you know, reinvigorate Dúchiri, to support it, maybe come up with an action plan? What has the council actually done? Because it's so easy to jump a step and blame another party. But what has the local authority done for the people of Dúchiri as the Garda station closed, as the health centre closed, as the post office closed, as the Philip shop closed? Like, did you just go out and protest? Were there motions on it? Were there action plans discussed? Did you have one of your famous workshops?
Well, look, I suppose there's some of the things there that you mentioned I wouldn't have been about at the time, but it's a fair question. And for myself, and I can only speak for myself, that some of the investment that was put into Dúchiri, and little it was in terms of footpaths and infrastructures. Now, we did try there last year to invest into a health check for Dúchiri itself, which we're doing for even the village where I'm in at the moment. I'm from Anagra. Or close to it, and to try to figure out how do we move forward. Unfortunately, that didn't happen for loads of different reasons. And I mean that for loads of different reasons. The money was there to start that health check programme. But unfortunately, like I says, here we are where we are, and there could have been far more done. Now, we had done a lot of work, and as you said yourself, about the famous workshops. I'm no fan of workshops. I don't believe there should be workshops. I think that we all meetings of Corley Humbug and Al should be open to everybody. Need that be in person coming on to the meetings itself, or else it's streamed online. I'm quite on record on that, as you know, Greg. Mm-hmm. But we did try in terms of identifying land to try to build homes there. Now, I've seen in social media, and I think it's a fair enough criticism, that there was a whole focus on sending men into Doohery. But I have to be very honest, we didn't, or I personally, I don't know about other councillors, I can only speak for myself, I tried to get families into Doohery in terms of looking at where, you know, their families and their school. I was successful in one family. Unfortunately, the other houses, which were two bedroom, was very focused on, you know, men and that was the request.
Is that from the social housing waiting list?
Sorry, say that again.
Are you saying families and men going in there? Is that from the social housing waiting list?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, it is. But yeah, so there's a number of houses. There's two estates there in Doohery. And we did, and then genuinely, and I'm more than happy to meet anybody in any type of forum to discuss this. We did try to look at trying to get families into Doohery, but unfortunately that didn't work out. And again, I'm not trying to deflect blame for myself, because I put my hands up saying that I am one of the people, because I'm elected and I'm paid for this work. But when a community like Doohery unfortunately finds itself where it is, for communities and any community, need that be in the Dunniff or else need that be anywhere in Glencoe and Kill, you need a long-term plan. You need the investment being invested into it, not right now, today. Yes, well, right now, today, yes, but I mean, like, long-term. And what we found is that wasn't. I had spoke at length at times with the Drisna Gaeltachta around the Gaeltacht Lair about investment.
I'd just be curious,
in terms of maybe factories, and I would have spent a fair bit of time in that area, and I will continue
I just wanted would the local authority make representations to One Garda Síochána Síochána about the retention at least one or two days a week of the Doohery Garda station? You know, would the local authority make an argument on behalf of the community for the retention of a health centre, or Tuam Post about the importance of having access to facilities in a local area, or maybe even look at the rates in terms of supporting a local village shop, or actually, as you've mentioned, maybe targeting the social housing to families, whatever it might be. You know, like, whether or not the council has the power or not, that's maybe another debate. But, you know, again, you know, the local authority, Donegal County Council, you're the closest we have to decision-making, to local democracy, to, you know, being in power. And, you know, what is the council doing to advocate and support these local communities?
Well, in fairness, I think it's, a fair question. And unfortunately, when the local health centre was closed and when the guards were closed, I wasn't a councillor back then. And I think it's fair to ask the question, what are we doing? We should be doing representation. These things are debated and discussed at fair length. When you look at the shop, you're talking about the rates. Unfortunately, rates are generally set, and the mechanism of rates are generally set from Ballyclia and not from us. We can either raise or not raise our rates. And there is a discussion and merit in having a conversation around small rural shops. Need that be privately owned or turned into a cooperative?
But it's too late for this shop. But, like, why is that not already happening? You know, why aren't we being proactive? I mean, if I search historic motions from Donegal County Council, how often is the word Doohery going to feature?
Well, again, if you go onto my social media...
I'm on about motions in the council.
Oh, motions.
Yeah, motions in the council. How often, if I search motions at full council meetings, how often is the word Doohery going to feature in there?
Well, I suppose in terms of motions, Pacific Motions itself, beyond having Doohery on the agenda as part of the wider discussion, I'm not sure. Doohery is a village that I, myself anyway, have discussed and have highlighted for a very, very, very long time. If you take, for example, the shop, and I think that the shop owners would very much vouch for this here, I have advocated very, very strongly for even people who drive past the beautiful village that Doohery is, to stop and buy your maybe pound of butter that you would normally not buy in wee little shops out there, or flour or milk or whatever, and then wee little things add up and it makes the difference of being open and closed. And unfortunately, they've found themselves that they couldn't sustain the shop any longer. But going back to the school and where we are in rural Ireland, we've seen a massive drop in population in our school community, from Keju to Aidin Infa to other areas. And people are in communities working hard to try, I don't know what the English word for it, to encourage people and to use. So for example, the great work that Keju is doing, and was at a meeting, public meeting that they had last week, and it was more than just a public meeting. It was an example of what parents could, maybe their children could have by putting their children through the medium of Gaelic. There was, you know, language, or there was obviously the language, but there was poetry, there was music, and a very progressive, open discussion around where a second or a third language benefits the individual themselves. So there are things happening out there, but what we really need is proper investment. We have families now who unfortunately are leaving, and individuals who are leaving to the four corners of the world to find a better life, as they would say, in foreign countries. But if they choose then that they want to return, the services that they have had for over many years, need that be in Abu Dhabi or Australia or whatever, they want to have the footpaths, they want to have the street lights, they want to have the childcare, the cinemas and other social outlets in their area.
There's no doubt immigration is a factor. That being said, and I'm not saying it affects Donegal, as many people return, as many Irish return at this point to Ireland as leave. So that is I'm telling you, it's a statistical fact, but it might be weighed in more countries. It might be weighed in more countries and not apply to us. But my point being this as well, Micheál Colum, like, you look at the statistics, people aren't having babies anymore. I know in my own family, you can almost see the children stopping all of a certain age, and you know, people are having less children. They're not having 4-kid families, 5-kid families. You know, the last kid of a lot of families out there is going into baby infants, and there's not another kid in sight or even planned down the line. If we have a dwindling population where more people are, there's less people dying than being born, or vice versa, sorry, we're not replenishing the population, inevitably, small rural communities are going to be impacted by that. You throw in immigration on top of that. Is this not just the way modern Ireland is? We're not producing the kids to sustain every national school. There's another school down in Inver closing.
Well, whatever little powers I have as a councillor.
No, this is a. This is a. No, this is.
I don't. Families want, do yeah. What families do.
I understand. I understand. But my point is that, you know, when we talk about the closure of the school, and you can tie it into the fishing industry and rural neglect and everything. But fundamentally, for baby infants, you know, you need 4, 5, 6 kids. And the truth is, and it's all over the country, the population is not replenishing itself. Those kids aren't there.
Well, the population within the 26 and the 6 counties, the 32 counties, I won't be partitionist about it, is increasing. But I do think there is an opportunity there, and we see some communities, Armore had done a lot of work in that there, where they were asking people to come into their communities and make a new life in their community, and offering the broadband and the GTECs and some of the works that Idris na Gaeltacht have been doing in Gaeltacht areas. And I think there are steps that we can, because there are people who do live in cities, maybe like Ballyclia or Lunya or Galif, who would like to move to a more rural Gaeltacht community like we have. We have a beautiful.
That'd be a fantastic role
community
for the council,
wouldn't
it?
You know, when you look at the Gaeltacht layer.
But my point, that would be a fantastic role for the council. to put in place initiatives to support local communities to portray the likes of Dukhari and others as you know, like, I'm just saying, I think the local authority could be doing a great deal more in this regard.
I think one of the problems here is when it comes to local authority, Greg, is that the lack of power that we actually have. You know, the power that we have now compared to what the power that and the choices or the decision making powers the councillors might have had many years ago has changed dramatically. And if you look right across maybe Europe, and if you look at their democratic model, where every town, every village has a
small council,
we don't have any of them powers. We don't have any of them decision making choices, because that the government has taken that away, where they've centralized it more to do with Ballyclea than we do have locally. And that unfortunately is pure democracy.
Yeah, and of course, it's for Dublin, it's an over-reliance or an over-investment, you could argue, for Donegal in Dublin, and even locally, obviously Letterkenny and a rising tide lifts all boats, it's much of the focus too. Right, listen, it's fascinating, it's a grim picture, no doubt about it, because I think we're going to be having these conversations every...
But can I say one thing?
Briefly, Greg, please, yep.
This is really, really important. You know, even though that we have the shop and the pub and the school closed, Dukhari, similar to all the other areas in the Gaeltachtlair, need that be from Bracha to Ballinafine to Litcher or anywhere, is a fantastic community, very much alive, and great people doing fantastic work. It was just a failure, I think, on us as politician and as a state that has overseen the closure of the school.
Understood.
And other businesses in the area.
Councillor Micheál Colum, thank you very much indeed. Anything to say in relation to that? And many of you texting in already, please get in touch with us. By the way, if you are out on the roads, particularly on the tourist straight heading to Muff, there is cattle on the road there, so you might not be used to that. So just be careful if you're travelling in that area. And maybe if you own them, you might not be aware that they're out, but they are. So you might go and you'll be very much interested to get them back in. Coming up after 10, we have Community Garda information, where you get the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána here in Donegal first. We've got some live music for you as well from a group of lads you probably have seen on social media if you're on it. So we look forward to that. Let's get to some of your comments here. We were talking to Bernie a little earlier on, who overdosed on B12 effectively. Unknowns to her, she was taking it in multiple supplements. This caller says, my B12 is dangerously high. Thus, the last couple of times I got blood tests. I don't take vitamins. I do eat normal. I've no special diets. It's been worrying me, but doctors have told me it's nothing to worry about. Now, you've got naturally occurring high levels of B12, probably not to be conflated with supplement B12. So you're under the care of your doctors. They're not worried. If I were you, I wouldn't worry. I wonder, is it affecting your health generally speaking, or is it only showing up in your bloods? Doctors, professional GPs, they've got a whole load of variables that they will look at. Greg, if you have a gallbladder removal, you can't absorb B12. You need injections. And that's what I was wondering. Bernie didn't know, but I was curious if she has an underperforming part of her body that meant she wasn't absorbing the B12. On housing, Dukhari is supposed to be a Gaeltacht, but the council has given council houses to people from Belfast, Ukraine and Pakistan, none of whom speak Irish, nor their children. Ask the councillor why. Well, I asked the councillor if the houses being allocated were from the social, the housing list, and he confirmed that they were. So the nationality of those people, we have an open island. We're not locked into Belfast if we're from Belfast. If they're on the housing waiting list, as Councillor McGill-Aspig said, then your race or your original location doesn't come into it. All our small towns and villages will see similar closures like this, believes a listener. When services are not there and people can't build houses in their own areas, we're going to see areas like Dukhari closing their services. Water supplies are also an issue. We need the planning permission ban along the N56 lifted. Michael McLafferty, councillor, says that. And Michael, as you would know, that seems very likely, the government making those announcements in the not-too-distant future. And although the council themselves are a lot to blame for the school closure, the council and not the councillors themselves. Families have gone into the new chapel estate. Parents send them to other schools outside the area. If families were given a house by the council, they should be forced to put their children to the local school. But then, if it is about choice, and we've seen this in a different school as well, if if there are, maybe the, I'm not saying this is dukery, but if there's too many schools, there's too many schools. So if parents in particular areas are putting their children into a school in a neighbouring parish, well, then you can't compel people to attend a particular school. They might not. Well, I have to be careful what I say, because it might sound like I'm talking about dukery when I'm not. Fair play to Greg for bringing up the subject of dukery. It's so sad to see the local youth emigrate. It is heartbreaking. Now, we have to divvy it up. Those that want to travel, see the world, get out from under their parents' feet. They've always been there. They will always be there. What would break my heart is young people feeling that they've got no choice but to leave. And that's a terrible indictment on our country if that is the case. The national government and Donegal County Council, says a listener, should be doing much more to keep small rural Gaelscoils open. There should be additional supports for small Gaelscoils to stay open in rural areas. Well, you have seen bursaries and what have you. Schools can do initiatives to try and boost the numbers up. We've talked about it on this show before, and it has proven to be effective and successful, but you can't do that for every school.
Where your opinion matters. The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
A caller says, Sherfintra School outside Killybeds closed or is facing closure too. Shame for rural Donegal. Hello, says a listener. I live in Orchard Grove, Ballyrain, Letterkenny. And for the past 4 weeks, there's a ramp, but it's more like a wall or so high. Our vehicles are being damaged every day. Can someone or anyone explain this ramp, wall, or why it's so high? Totally unacceptable. Send us a pic. I'd like to see it. In relation to the debate on relaxing rules around abortion, which is being debated today, voted on tomorrow, a caller says there's an obligation on all of the Donegal TDs, regardless of their party politics, to observe the result of the electorate in Donegal who voted against abortion to oppose this Sinn Féin proposed legislation. A caller believes human life begins at conception, therefore morally wrong in every circumstance that it ends the life of an innocent human being. There's no difference between an embryo, a fetus, newborn or adult, all simply different stages of human life. Yet next there'll be a referendum where we'll be asked to vote on the rights of nursing home residents, people with disabilities or anyone who doesn't fit into society. Shame on our government, shame on our reps. I mean, obviously, when life begins and the significance of an embryo versus a fully grown adult human, I don't know. People have different views in relation to that. Listen, to your latter point, we're already discussing the early termination of life, people being allowed to effectively choose when they die under circumstances. But what we've learned is those circumstances can change. So already you could say plans are afoot. And the reason I say that is some people feel that that is going to put pressure on older people to make those tough decisions. On the issue of vitamins, lately, since my siblings passed away, I get B12, but my iron seems to be low all the time. I think I was told B12 was to give me energy, but I sleep more now, even on my chair during the day. Never did this happen. My mouth always tastes like metal, no pleasure at all. Now, if you have lost people in your life, it's very, very traumatic, and it's possible that the quality of your sleep at night is not up to scratch, and you're catching up on sleep during the day. So don't get yourself into some sort of a thought spiral, if you don't mind me saying so. Like, check your sleep pattern. Are you sleeping less? You know, are you waking up tired? Because it could be possible, you know, you could be searching for a ton of answers, but you could be grieving. You know, it's a very traumatic situation. So what I'm saying is, obviously, you know, check with medical professionals and all that type of stuff. But if you don't mind me saying, potentially give yourself a break. Maybe your body's working and your mind's working through the loss of your siblings. If it was recent, for an example, and just check the quality of your nighttime sleep. And maybe that's why you're napping during the day. As to the metallic taste in your mouth, I'm not really sure, and I'm certainly not giving any medical advice. Hi, Greg. House prices in our area are so extortionate that young families can't afford to buy anything, which usually results in having to buy nearby towns. Most houses that come up for sale are bought as holiday homes. This will have an impact on schools in years to come. Kenneth, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Greg.
Now, we were talking about a road traffic collision on the Rafota Convoy Road last night. There's local knowledge as to this stretch of road, isn't there? Tell us the history of it and what happened.
This is the R236 from Rafal to Convoy. In recent years, this road has been very, very, very busy and still is very busy with heavy traffic, especially a lot of creamery lorries to and fro between, I think, Artigarvan Creamery and Convoy Creamery. But this road, there's a stretch there midway through where there's a heavily wooded area. And there's a stone bridge there, but there's a sheer drop. When you're going out to Convoy, there's a sheer drop for about 800 or 900 metres on the way out to Convoy.
Wow.
Now, in recent, I think plus maybe a year plus ago, there was a subsidence there on the left-hand side where the council had to widen the road and put a short crash barrier there. But they have neglected the rest of it. And the many local people have been complaining for years that this is an accident waiting to happen. But unfortunately, last night, just before 6 o'clock, there was a major accident where two fire tenders, three ambulances attended the scene. I don't know the details, but obviously it must have been pretty serious. So I'm just wondering, how long is the council going to wait before they do something major
regarding
the crash barrier there?
Kenneth, you've just answered the question. I was going to say, Kenneth, what is the sense locally needs to be done? Obviously, realignment and all that kind of widening, we have to be realistic. It's probably safety measures we're looking at and the safety barrier you believe and locals believe that's what's required.
There's not a lot of space to realign or to widen that road, but
right.
I think it would be a major improvement if the council was to erect a crash barrier there for at least 700 or 800 metres. It's not quite as bad when you pass the wooded area, but there's a sheer drop there, and I think what happened last night, the car... I think it was coming from the Convoy direction, went through the hedge for whatever reason, we don't know, and I think somersaulted and down a man's field, rolled down the hill. Mm. So there's no deterrent there to stop vehicles coming through there.
Right, okay, Kenneth. Yeah, we'll check it out.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, and the other thing is really that road is like a patchwork quilt.
Yeah.
There's places there's a white line, places there isn't. There's places there's white lines and yellow lines, and there's places there's no yellow lines at all. I can't understand that.
Mm.
And there's very few signs apart from the curvy lane further out, as they call it, where they've had to put the yellow and black deviation signs when you're coming up the corner.
Yes.
This is a very trusty road, and there's practically known. Along the rest of the route. So, I just wanted to highlight that, Greg, and motivate the council to plan and do something with it.
That's what it's all about, Kenneth. Thank you for that, explaining it so clearly for us. Kenneth there. Hi, Greg. Could you play a request for our mum, Margaret McIntyre? Hiya, Margaret. Margaret is in St. Johnstone and celebrates her birthday today, so we're wishing you all the best, Margaret. And best wishes coming in from your husband, Michael, your 7 daughters, 5 sons, 25 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Wowzers. And I'm not in any way belittling the importance of any other stories that we're talking about, but you can't say Margaret hasn't done her bit to keep the local school open. So 7 daughters, 5 sons, 25 grandchildren and 10 great-great-grandchildren. Happy birthday to you, Margaret McIntyre in St. Johnstone. Big happiest birthday to Christine Boner today. The day has finally arrived, they say. Well, 50, I think, now is the new 30. I'd say 50's the new 40. I think 50's the new 30 now. I mean, you look at people who are 50 years of age and they look absolutely fantastic. Healthy as trout. And I hope that applies to Christine too in terms of health. On the issue of vitamins, this is why community health courses like DLDC Healthy Food Made Easy are so important. No one should be taking vitamins unless advised to do so. If you're eating a good balanced diet, why would you need vitamins? The wellness industry has a lot to answer for. The wellness industry, yes, I think external agitators, external influencers, and then people go in to their shop or chemist and just fill their basket. I think the right course of action is to go into your local health store and speak to people. They're not going to give you B12 if you're. They'll ask you what you're eating and how you're feeling, and you get very good advice. And I know that from some Q&As here. Less is not more. Less is more sometimes as well. So I think what happened with Bernie was deciding herself what to take, and it turned out that everything seemed to have B12 in it.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Rightio, it is Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 16th of June, and we're heading into one of, if not the biggest, policing operations in Donegal. That's the Donegal International Rally. I'm going to be speaking more about that in a moment with Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, but we'll do appeals first. Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Thank you so much for calling up, Eunan.
Morning, Greg. Good. Thanks for having me.
You.
Thank you.
Right, let's start with appeals, and this are instances that are ongoing investigations whereby any little bit of information that you might have out there may help in progressing them. That's why we do this. And we'll start, will we, with criminal damage in Ballyargus.
Yes, Greg, this is an incident occurred in the Ballyargus area of Redcastle last Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, sometime between 11 p.m. Tuesday the 9th of June and 12:30 a.m. on the Wednesday morning the 10th of June. The yard of a house was entered by a male between those times, and the male person caused substantial damage to the paintwork around the driver's side door handle of a Jeep which was parked at the property. No entry was gained to the Jeep and no property was stolen. And again, we know that a male is involved, and we appeal to anybody who may have travelled in that general area between those times, that's say last Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, with dash cam to make it available to Gardaí. And again, if anybody can assist with any information, they have to contact Buncrandy Garda Station 07493-20540, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-000.
Heading to the south of the county, Ballyshannon more specifically.
Yes, another criminal damage incident, Greg, that occurred in the Samer Drive area of Ballyshannon. So this was the early hours of last Friday morning, so sometime Thursday night, Friday morning, shortly after 4:05 a.m. The front windows and glass in the front door of a house in that area were smashed at the time. If anybody witnessed the incident or have any relevant information, we're asking people please to contact Gardaí at Ballyshannon 074-071-985-8530. And again, anybody who had dash cam in their vehicle and was in the area at the time between 3:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. to make it available to the Gardaí in Ballyshannon.
Now, next two appeals are in relation to thefts from cars. We'll start in Milford.
Yes, this is an incident which occurred on a car park on the main street of the Milford area. So this is Sunday morning, the 14th of June, Saturday night, Sunday morning, approximately 6:20 a.m, Greg. A number of items were stolen from an unlocked car at the location, namely a set of keys, an angle grinder, socket set, parkside sausage set, and a quantity of cash. And again, we are particularly interested in hearing from anybody who may observe two males. So we know that there were two males involved in the incident, and they were on foot in the area at the time between 5 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. One of the males, Greg, we know, was wearing a green hoodie, black bottoms and white trainers. That's a green hoodie, black bottoms and white trainers. And the other male was wearing a black hoodie, grey bottoms, black trainers, and he was wearing glasses. And again, if anybody was in the area at the time, has any information, and again, anybody with dash cam to make it available, to contact the Gardaí in Milford, 074-91-530-60, or again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-000.
Really good information in relation to the appearances of those persons of interest. And you may have seen them earlier or the night before, for an example, in that area. That is also very useful information to Gardaí. And we would suggest, you know, don't filter it yourself. If there's something that you think is useful to any of these appeals, please get in touch, as has been outlined by Eunan here. Theft from a car now in Ballykiernan.
Yes, this
O'Kieran, is... I beg your pardon,
Ballykiernan, Kilmacrennan, yes, last Wednesday afternoon at approximately 6:20 p.m., a car was parked up and the owner went for a walk and returned around 7 p.m., discovered that the front passenger window had been smashed. The car had been entered. Nothing of value was stolen from it in, but obviously damage to the car. So we're appealing for anybody who may have been in the area, or again, anybody with dash cam footage, to make it available to the Gardaí at Milford. That's in the Ballycairn Woods area of Kilmacrenan last Wednesday at approximately 6:20 p.m. Milford Garda Station, 074-9153-060.
Right, now, scams, they're flat out with them, aren't they? And there's a number. Now, the reason this is brought to the attention is because Garda informational reports, so they're not being pulled out of the sky. These are scams that are going about, and Garda have been made aware of them.
This is a new one from me, Greg.
Yeah,
so,
go on, we'll hit us with the deets.
Members of the public receive a phone call from a scammer purporting to be an employee from a mobile phone provider, offering discounts or mobile phone upgrades, and then they seek your information to receive the perks. They may request partial payment for a phone upgrade also, and obviously no phone comes and you lose your money. We're also aware of actually an incident where a lady did receive a phone in the post. It was obviously a fake phone, and then she was contacted immediately to say that it was the wrong phone, to return the phone back, but also as it was an upgrade, to send on another €250, which she did, and no phone came. So again, we just want to remind the public to be alert to scams, never disclose personal details over the phone, never share codes, passwords over the phone, do not click links contained in unsolicited text messages or emails. And again, if you receive a call such as this, do not provide personal information. Hang up. If you're in doubt, hang up and make contact with your own mobile phone provider. We all have the phone provider who we ring to get through to customer service, or where we're looking for an upgrade or things like that, renewing our contract. So hang up, contact your mobile phone provider and get it clarified.
Yeah, I know there's been loads of information leaks over the years. My name and email has been leaked. So I will often get phone calls, and thankfully they're foreign, so they're easier to detect. And they know my name and my email address. So instantly you would think, so they throw in there my mobile phone provider, and I'm thinking, okay, this feels legit. It's like those texts, hi, Dad, I've lost my phone. Now, I got this forwarded on to me with a lol from a son, Lee. Joe Dex got one as well. Neither of the two of them have kids, so it doesn't matter. It's funny. They know straight away. But they send out 1,000 of them.
You do, yeah.
And then a dad or a mum gets them, and they go, so they don't, it costs them nothing to
send out 1,000, Greg. All it takes is for one or two to get through.
Two, yeah. So okay.
They're asking people, please be careful. Please be careful.
We often obviously seek the public's assistance in ongoing investigations, but we shouldn't forget, obviously, that apprehensions and successes are happening all the while. And we've got information too in relation to a day of action. What happened here? Whereabouts?
Yes, this occurred last Friday, Greg, in the West Donegal and General Milford areas. Checkpoints and immigration inspections were conducted at various locations in the areas, and they were conducted as part of the Coastal Watch initiative, which was launched a couple of months ago. It's a joint effort with revenue commissioners and other services to prevent and detect the importation of illegal drugs. And again, these type of initiatives and checkpoints raise awareness among coastal communities and people operating at sea, so it can assist us and other agencies by reporting suspicious activity. This was involved locally, the Divisional Detective Unit, Divisional Drugs Unit, Immigration Unit, Roads Policing Unit, with assistance from Revenue Commissioner offices. So as part of the action, a search was carried out at a domestic residence in the Dunfanny area last Friday the 12th of June. And during the course of the operation, a 40,000 euro of suspected cannabis was seized, cocaine and various types of tablets. Along with that, investigating Gardaí seized €170,000 in cash and a number of electronic devices which are of evidential value. A man in his 30s was arrested and detained under the Drug Trafficking Act and held at Letterkenny Garda Station for questioning. He's since been released without charge, and a file will be prepared for the DPP.
Which is standard practice.
Standard practice, yes, for serious crimes, yes. And the Gardaí again subsequently conducted another search in the Dunfanny area. And during the course of this operation, approximately €33,000 of suspected cocaine, €30,000 of cannabis, and electronic devices of evidential value were also seized. So all these seized drugs and laptops, computers, etc., will be sent to Forensic Science Ireland for analysis and examination.
Yeah,
and
I think
investigations are undergoing.
And listen, obviously we've got a big weekend upcoming, which will be you know, which will be busy. We know that. And I'm not suggesting for a second, you know, my point is I'm glad these drugs are out of circulation.
Yes, and again,
and because the knock-on effects of them being in circulation, you know, we shouldn't.
And I am aware that the members involved in the operation received numerous cooperation from members of the public, and we'd like to thank the public for their continued support and encourage members of the public to report any drug-related activities to your local Garda station or, again, the confidential line.
Brilliant stuff, Una. Now, Donegal International Rally 2026. To make sure it runs as smoothly as is possible, it's a multi-agency approach, along with, of course, the organisers and hopefully the cooperation of the public. So, big weekend. You've got some details for us.
Yeah, just to remind people that I'm sure most people know that the rally's on this weekend. I suppose we start with where the rally's taking place. On the Friday, it's in the Gidore and Fulcara areas. So just to let people aware that on Friday evening, we will have an influx of traffic coming in the mountaintop area into Letterkenny. You know, the rally cars returning home to Park Ferma, rally supporters and all that coming back into town. So we're asking people, just if you have a journey on Friday evening, which involves the mountaintop area, just plan accordingly and give yourself plenty of time. And Saturday, we're in Knockalla and Garton in the Trenta areas. And again, there will be a number of road closures there, as there is in Gidora and Fulcara. The road closures are on our website. I think you may be sharing them too. They're on the Donegal County Council website and the Donegal Motor Club website.
And every house in the area affected by it was visited months ago. So there's good local knowledge.
There is, yes.
But sometimes there can be gaps, so people travel through these areas.
Yes, there's always gaps. And you know, if people are concerned, just contact us and we will liaise with the Motor Club in the matter. On Sunday then, we're back in Fannet and Atlantic Drive and Downings and the Lochkeel areas. So, and again, on the Saturday evening and the Sunday evening, we'll have large volumes of traffic returning back to Letterkenny again to service area Park Ferma and to, I suppose, Letterkenny is the hotspot for the weekend.
Yeah, particularly the Mount Errigal Hotel on Sunday.
Yes,
evening.
The Sunday is an area of concern for a lot of people. So I suppose you could say, Greg, Sunday evening is akin to a Northern Bank holiday weekend on a Tuesday or Monday. We will have a large amount of traffic going through Ballyrain roundabout. And the Thomas Keys is around about there where the roadworks are going. Now, the roadworks have finished, but again, it will have some impact on the traffic. So we're asking people to plan accordingly. If you're going, maybe some people are going to holidays on Sunday down the country, whatever, plan accordingly, leave in time. And we're asking people, if possible, to avoid the Ballyrain area on Sunday evening.
In terms of enforcement, what isn't allowed, we know last year particularly, and not exclusively, A lot of people missing their cars. You know, if you're found to be diffing, your car could go. The guard,
yes, we have
discretion.
New power. The Road Traffic Act was amended, I think, last year. There's a Section 109 of the Road Traffic Act. So here, before the enactment of the Act, if we caught somebody diffing, we'd arrest them for dangerous driving, you know, keep them for court. If it wasn't over seriously, we would charge them, let them out, and away they go with their car. But not anymore. If you're involved in any dangerous activity, like diving on a public road or screeching tyres, or if your vehicle is not roadworthy, it's dangerous, we have the power to seize this vehicle under the Road Traffic Act, and we will be doing so. We have over 100 members coming to Letterkenny for the weekend from all over the country, and it's a big thing on our briefing documents.
You also know where the cars are coming from, where the pinch points are. You also know that maybe people switch out shocks or whatever it might be for the NCT and switch them back in again for the likes of this event. They might get the windows tinted. You've got all the gear. You know where the pinch points are, where you can deter this type of activity. You would have to be mad, I think, to land into Donegal with an illegally modified car, excessive tinting, or to be driving like an idiot.
Yes, look, and as I said to you, we have numerous checkpoints with the Road Safety Authority and our roads policing guys who are expert in modified vehicles. And what I'm saying is, if you lose your car, you won't get it back. You have to go to court to make an application to the district judge to get your car back, and that will be the following week. So if you're involved in any dangerous activity, diffing or whatever it is in public roads, you know, and just to remind people, rallying is a sport. You know, I don't know if you're into rallying or not, but
I would be going on holidays if I could.
Well, you know,
it's not that. I mean, I admire it. It's just in terms of, it's like watching golf live.
Yes.
Just a car passing me doesn't do much for me. But I love seeing people enjoy themselves.
Rallying is a sport, and it's in a controlled environment where these people are professionals. Their cars are modified. Where they're rallying, Greg, the roads are closed. There are no traffic and there are no pedestrians. So if people think they're coming to Letterkenny to rally, you're not rallying, you're involved in Tiffin or whatever you call it, in public roads. Dangerous driving. It's not rallying. We need to separate the rally event from what these people are involved in. And apart from that, there are organised Tiffin events in the town. That's the place to go and burn your rubber or get it out of your system or whatever. But we're warning people, if you're out in the public road, yes, come and enjoy yourself. But if you're involved in any dangerous activity, you will lose your car.
And the majority of those that come to Donegal, even if they don't attend the rally, they're coming up to show off the cars. The cars are legal. They spend a fortune on them. They probably don't drink. Probably don't go out much. And they're here to enjoy themselves. And we welcome with them open arms.
We do.
It's people coming up here to disrupt in illegal vehicles, to risk their lives and the lives of others. That's the focus, and I think that's a minority.
And just to reassure people that it is the minority who get involved in these activities, you know, and it's the minority who spoil it on the majority. The vast amount of people who come with their cars, who are into Tiffin events, etc. They're all good young people, young males, young females, and they want to showcase their vehicles. But there are a few then who, for want of a better word, maybe get carried away over the weekend and encouraged by other people to different public roads. That's not acceptable. Yeah. You're going to lose your car.
Yep. Finally, you asked me, are you into rallying?
I'm into sport, rallying, a bit.
You're a bit like me, actually.
I won't see any of the rally, but I'll be working the weekend. I'll be out at the Mount Errigal on the Sunday. And just to make people aware, there are a lot of concerns about, you know, ambulance routes and emergency vehicles getting into town. So the Cullion Road is closed again this year.
Runs along the four lanes.
Yes, it's basically closed from the ready mix there at the crossroads down to the Cullion Road. So there will be guards at each point, and that will be closed. There are some businesses and residents on the Cullion Road. They will be.
Am I correct in saying you know people in who are in the care industry attending work in hospital, are they facilitating?
Some of them are. Yes, we met with the HSE and the consultants in A&E. We have a list of people who may be required urgently in Letterkenny Hospital, and they will be facilitating.
The reason I ask is because I know it came up last year, and I was sure something was put in place. We've learned from that. That's in place now.
Yes, that is in place.
And people who know, people who know will know.
Yes, and so just people are worried about the hospital roadworks there. Those barriers and cones are going to be lifted. Some are there, gone already. I saw on my way up. They're going to be gone for the weekend. And we're asking people, if you're coming up or down from the hospital around about the mountaintop and an ambulance comes, don't panic. Please don't panic. Put on your hazard lights. They're tarring the road at the minute, so there will be a facility for cars to pull up onto the hard shoulder to let an ambulance pass.
Yeah, and just in terms of general traffic, you know, many of us hit the traffic here on a morning at 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30. It can be tail to tail, even with no road works. As you said, Eunan, as the cars come back in on Friday or Sunday or whatever it might be, you're going to experience delays there.
There will be delays. You know, look, we have. I think I was chatting to the roads police. It's about 16 motorbikes working the weekend. Four of them specifically for patrols in Letterkenny town. I have 7 to 8 guards on mountain bikes, numerous guards on foot patrols. But again, there's only so much we can do with the traffic. You know, if there's a backlog of traffic, we can stop people sitting in yellow boxes. But we can't pull traffic out of the sky and put them on the dual carriageway. You know, that's the reality of it.
And guards aren't traffic wardens or traffic, what do you call it, stop-go people. You've busy stuff to be doing.
Just to warn people that Letterkenny will be very busy over the weekend. And if possible, avoid the Ballyraine area on the Sunday and maybe the mountaintop area on the Friday.
And everyone have fun. And we have a special show coming up on Thursday. I think really the whole show is going to be pretty much dominated by the rally. We're going to be speaking to the organisers. We're going to be speaking to members of the business community, colleagues of Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh's. You're going to have all of the information you would want heading into the biggest sporting weekend in Donegal.
It is the biggest event in the Northwest region because of the geographical spread of rally. You have Falkirk, Gweedore, Milford, Downings, and then Letterkenny. So it's a big operation. Sometimes we sell her short, like a lot of agencies in Donegal, but not anymore. It's a big event and we will be policed it properly.
Super stuff. You'll have seen the Gig in a Gaff guys. They're setting up in studio with us. You might also know them through the band Bootleg. Well, they're going to be performing live and having a chat for us shortly. But I want to get to some of your comments here now and on the issue of vitamins. Before I started taking vitamin tablets, I used to get head colds at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. So I started taking vitamin tablets in 2016. I've only had two head colds since I started taking them. December 2019 and January 2025. I can't, it's fantastic, but my brain doesn't work like that. I could not remember when I had a head cold. But anyway, this caller remembers the months and the years. I haven't had a head cold since. I take zinc, garlic and vitamin C, vitamin D tablets and 7 C's multivitamins. I'm very aware that a person can overdose on vitamin tablets if a person takes too many of a certain vitamin, but the vitamin tablets work for me, so I'm going to keep taking them. And no one is discouraging that, by the way. Hi, I used to take multivitamins and B12. I got my bloods done every year, and about 3 years ago, my B12 came back 27,000 times higher than it should be. I was advised, quite rightly, to cut out B12, which I did. Bloods were repeated, and it came back still 5,000 times higher. Fast forward to last year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm not making a connection between all of that, by the way, and neither is our listener. It's just is what it is. Morning, Greg. I get blood tests every 6 months. The last 2 times I discovered the bloods are being sent to Dublin. It can take up to 2 to 3 weeks to get results. Some basic vitamins are not being checked. Seems to be a new development at the hospital. Well, the people I know sort of discuss with the doctor what gets tested, but I don't know. Maybe your situation is different. I was rushed to hospital on Friday night, says the listener. I'd like to thank the first responders on the night shifts in the Dunloe area on Friday night. After 10 p.m, they were called. The response was mighty, and they were in there in 10 minutes from Dunloe to Annagree. My experience in the hospital was outstanding. I've so much gratitude to the first responders and the hospital staff. I'm doing well now and on the mend. Dolores Dunleavy sent that in. Dolores, I know you're probably watching. You watch every day. I'm sorry to hear that's the case. I'm pleased, though, that you had a good experience and that you are feeling better. Hi, I'm availing of HAP, and to get this payment, you have to be on the social housing list. As I'm a private rented house, because there's no council houses, I have to pay the council €70 a week. What am I paying this for? I'm paying this just to be on a waiting list. I pay £3,640 yearly to Donegal County Council, but for what they ask. Good morning to you, Aaron Coleman. Thanks for joining us.
Greg, thanks so much for having me.
We've got Kieran McBurty. Hi, Kieran. And also Matthew Melia. Good to see you. Good to have you on the programme. Rightio. So, you guys play, is it three years or in bootleg?
Yeah.
Or are the Morias then in bootleg or what way?
We get a drummer in as well when we
good
do
stuff, right? Couldn't afford
weddings.
That today.
Yeah. Exactly.
Brilliant stuff. And then this gig in a gaff thing. So, yes. Where did this come from? What's the concept?
It came from pints, I would say.
All the good ideas come from pints and yes. All the bad ideas.
That's very true, yeah. So we were all, we were in the pub one night. I think it was after we were playing or something, and we were all just kind of chatting, and I'd said, wouldn't it be cool if you saw a band, do you know, just like play in a sitting room or a kitchen or something? And we were like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, whatever. And then we were like, oh sure, we have all the equipment. So we thought, right, let's just do it. And then I threw up an Instagram post. I made a page and threw up a post, and within a day there was about 100 chairs on it. And I was freaking out. I was like, what is going on here? So we thought, right, we'll try and like organize this correctly. So we gave ourselves about 2 or 3 months, and then we had our first one there in April. So that was in Kilmacrenan. And then we had our second one in May, which was down in Louth. And the third one was just there, not the Saturday past, but the Saturday prior, down in Dublin. So yeah, we're aiming to have one a month. And it's basically a showcase event for local bands. So for example, if we have one in Dublin, the bands will be from Dublin or are based in Dublin. If they're in Donegal, the bands are based in Donegal or from Donegal. So that's how we try and get it as fair as possible for everyone.
And I mean, obviously, there's only a certain amount of people you can have in someone's gaff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So is the real mechanism here too about, obviously, it's like, you know that Wii Room, the big bands playing a Wii Room, and it's on socials and all that kind of stuff. Is it really about, it's the social media really is the reach, isn't it, obviously?
Yeah.
So what's that been like? Because firstly, visually, it's fantastic, right?
Thanks so much.
No, but I mean, but even the concept, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, right? It kind of stemmed from, like, the initial, I suppose, thought of it was, it's relatively common to, like, say, when I was in college, you'd go on a night out and you'd be like, oh, where's the afters? And then somebody's DJing and somebody's, I don't know, hallway or something. but it was never a band, so it was semi-inspired by that. But the whole, like, in terms of, like, as you were saying there, like, oh, you, about how many people goes to it, we thought out in terms of, like, we limit the amount of people that actually go to each event just purely for safety reasons. And also, you don't want to be, like, rammed in like sardines because it's just uncomfortable. But you want enough people there that you're like, oh, this is cool. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be like, oh, there's five people here and this sucks. But so, yeah, we kind of... It's basically on an invite-only basis.
So you talked about how, you know, if it happens in Dublin... So is it... one gig, just one gig per month, or is it one gig per county? And at what point did you decide that this was big enough that you could share the IP down the country, if you know what I mean? Like,
I think it was all kind of at the start. We were like, oh, what if we do this? What if we do this? What if we do this? And we were all like, all right, let's just do it all, really. So we do three bands, 30-minute sets in each. Starts at 6 o'clock. We aim to have the music start at 6 o'clock. We'll be out of the house, try to finish latest at 8:30. So that way, if you want to go for pints or you have another show to go to or whatever. And it's, we just thought, like, the traction was immediate. We were like, oh, we should probably do this everywhere. And we just thought it would be a cool wee goal to have it in every county, because there's fantastic Irish bands everywhere. Like, it's not just exclusively Dublin. Mm. We could exclusively run this in Dublin because it's mental how many bands are there.
I think it's fantastic too, though, because sometimes there can be a little bit of entitlement in the Irish music scene.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying so, in that I created something, you must play it, you must listen to it.
Yeah.
That's not really how it works. What you have done is you say, yeah, we've created this, but here's a way in which, you know, we get it out there. Here's, we're giving something back. And it just removes that sort of entitlement. Because sometimes you hear people talking about Irish music and, you know, why is not more of it played? Well, sometimes it's not played based on how good it is.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I think really, you know, the industry needs to realise, and you guys do, that, you know, the good stuff gets played, but sometimes you have to figure out ways to get that information out there. And you're doing this in a brilliant way. And I presume too, there's all types of different gigs you can do. You know, you can have bands. You can have rappers, you can have hip hop, you can have whatever you like.
Yeah, we've had
we're like, just talking about doing a metal one, actually.
One will be metal.
You might do that in rural Ireland. Do you know there's an irony here? Like, is it doing, you know, this all started from after parties, and now he's doing pre-parties.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because he's getting old as fuck.
Yeah, we really are. It's incredibly sensible. We had a couple of people being like, oh, that's my dream gig, to go to it at 6 o'clock and then I can go to bed at 9. I was like, all right, no bother.
You stop doing my girlfriend's accent. Come here. Let's get a bit of music. What are you going to do first?
So the first song we're going to play is Wichita Lineman by Glenn Campbell.
Okay, take it away, lads. This is the founders of Gig and a Gaff, Aaron Coleman, Kieran McBurty, Matthew Melia. Go ahead.
Lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can through the wind, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south will never stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the
vocal sadist picking that one for 11 o'clock in the morning. If you can do it, you might as well do it. Fantastic stuff. Check out the guys on Instagram, instagram.com/giginagaff. And the wonderful thing about this is the stuff's up there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's in the bag. It's work that's done and it can be, you know, watched and enjoyed for...
It can, yeah. So, speaking on watched, we've one of the kind of goals we wanted to do for each of the events as well is because we do this all for free, you know, you kind of, it's like, it's great that we're able to do this and all this crack, but like, it's not that you go to the bands and you'd be like, oh, I pay you an exposure. I don't like that crack at all. So we thought, just as a kind of good idea, we have a digital desk, so we're able to record all the audio through that.
Fantastic,
and
yeah.
Then we also get videographers and they record that, so we just compile it all as a YouTube video then in the end, so everybody can get to go to Gig and a Gaff,
yeah,
kind of thing.
I love it, yeah. It's pretty,
you know. Think about it too, is that because we're everyone's doing it for free, we all just share each other's media then, so it's not like you don't get the sound or you don't get
but
the
in the days of social media, and you're right, you know, about the way people can be manipulated, it is great exposure as well, and there is an actual value to that.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to play out with the lads, Aaron Coleman, Kieran McBurty, Matthew Melia, founders of Gig and a Gaff, also playing in the band Bootleg. We're going to play out with this track, so I'll chat to you tomorrow morning at 9. Stay tuned for John Bresson around the Northwest. And also, go on to Instagram.com, check out /giganagaff. You'll get all the links to the YouTube and stuff there as well. If you're a band too, you might want to check it out and see if there's opportunities for you there. But again, lads, thank you so very much. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. It's my own remorse. Help me to decide. Help me make the most of freedom and of pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to rule the world. There's a room where the light won't find you. Tumbling down.
pleasure, nothing.